Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word and the way you reveal your love to us, the way you reveal our value, that we are not valued by the things we do or the families that we're born into, but we're valued because you have given us new life, and that life has come through the death and resurrection of Christ, to which we have been joined by our baptism. We give you thanks for that this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, 2 weeks ago, I stood before you. I was a little anxious about going on vacation because we were going to take the boat with us all the way to, a little bit north of central Minnesota, far west side. It's close to 500 or so miles that we were going to tow the boat. And it has been a while since we have done that. And I asked you to pray. Those of you who were here, I asked you to pray that all the wheels on the van and the boat would stay what? Round. You remembered. And in answer to your prayer, all of the wheels on the van and the boat stayed round until exit 56 on Interstate 29 northbound, at which point the tire on the left side of the van, of the boat, I should say. And by the way, for those of you who are counting, the left side is the driver's side, is the side that you're going to be changing the tire and the semis are going to be coming by like this, right? That's the side of the boat that the tire blew. And it looked kind of like shredded wheat when a tire blows like that. It was dramatic. It was dark. Our granddaughter's sleeping. She sleeps through the whole thing. And this is the part of the sermon where I'm telling you things that I wish I didn't have to tell you. I wish I didn't have to tell you that I had you. Y'all know what this is? This is a four-way lug wrench. It'll fit most of your lug bolts on various cars. It fits the lugs on the boat very well. Had a lot of practice with it. You want to have that along when you're traveling. I wish I didn't have to tell you that the tire blew. I wish I didn't have to tell you that I behaved poorly. I was angry. I was upset. We have gone, I don't know how many hours by that time, like 8.5, 9 hours, something like that. Claire has been an angel in terms of traveling. We're only an hour south of Omaha, and boom, 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 boom. We have to pull over to the side. We got to get the tire jack out. We got to get the spare out. And fortunately, we had kind of prepared for this because, as a small part of this message, let me just say now, and I'll get back to it later, I should have listened to my wife. Right. Remember that for later. I should have listened to my wife, okay? And so now we're out there, and we got to change this tire, and all of a sudden vacation just is not all that much fun, at least for these few moments. Which leads me to the third thing that I wish I didn't have to tell you, that is that vacations, as many of you well know, are full of surprises. Sometimes they are not that much fun because these unexpected things can put a great damper on what it is that you want to do. But as we've been talking about missioncation these weeks here, I want to bring you that message that I wish I didn't have to tell you, then that is that missioncation, often like vacation, is not all that easy. It's got some real challenges to it, and one of those challenges starts with a word that is used very often today in the epistle that we are going to read, and I'd like to have you pull your service folder out now, because I would like you to engage with this epistle. There's a bit of an elephant in the room when we talk about the gospel. There's a bit of an elephant in the room when we talk about life, and the elephant in the room is, for me anyway, because I find that people really don't want to talk about it that much. The word is death. And even as I say that word, how many of you really, really want to talk about death, right? Not like a favorite kind of a subject. We've tried to, in my ministry years, I've tried to offer funeral planning seminars and workshops and so forth. People are so excited. Not. But it is such a service to one another. And the truth of the matter is, well, we'll get to the truth of the matter as we take a look at this epistle. As you read through here, here's your engagement. I want you to count how many times Paul refers to death. Okay? I'll read. You count. How many times does Paul refer to death? But as you're reading this, I want you to also hear what the purpose of the death is as Paul speaks about it, all right? Here's our text for this morning, as soon as I turn to the right page. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, he will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Now read this part with me and keep track of the death words, okay? And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So this was my number 2 point in my sermon little outline. It's the thing I don't think I wanted to have to tell you. And that is that word death is a very key part of what our life is all about. How many times did you count death? 12? I don't know, 15 sounds a little high to me, but I got 12, 13 if you count the word crucified. That's a lot of times in those couple of paragraphs. And that's really part of the message. It's part of it, and it's that elephant in the room, is that we don't get to new life without going through death. But that's the story of Christ. He earns new life for us by, first of all, going through death. The very reason that he takes on this human flesh and blood is so that he can die, and so that you and I have the good news that when we are, like Paul says, united with Christ by our baptism into his death, we die a death that is not bloody and gory and painful and shameful and piercing. We die the death with Christ. That identity of Christ, having died for sin on our behalf, given to us, and then we are raised up to new life again. We get to new life through death, just as we will get to eternal life by having to die finally here on earth. So here's my third point for you this morning, and this is the thing that I think I must tell you and must talk to you about, and that is that in order for you to engage in missioncation, you're going to have to be a death bringer. You're going to have to bring that part of the message as well. I went out to Camp Trinity for a little while. How many of you were at Camp Trinity this week? How many of you were leaders or counselors in training at Camp Trinity this week? God bless you in all that. What a wonderful experience that is. I don't go out for the whole week. I just usually go out for an afternoon and kind of peek over their shoulders and watch the joy that is going on there. And Pastor Seidler and I were sitting by the table by the pool and talking about this upcoming Sunday. And I was sharing a little bit of the thought of the message, the elephant in the room, the word death. And he said, you know what that means? He says, that means we are co-conspirators in the death of others. He said, I could use that for free, no cost, no cost. But it's true. We are co-conspirators. Jesus calls us to go and make disciples by doing what? Baptizing them and teaching them. The Holy Spirit works in the hearts of others to kill them in order that they might be raised up to life. And you and I, as we engage in that mission, as we take that word of God to others, we are killing the old self so that they might rise up to new life again. I'll take you back to that roadside, exit 56, Interstate 29, northbound, just an hour south of Omaha, Nebraska. My poor behavior, my bad behavior, my anger, and so forth. And even within all that anger and madness, and by the way, I might have been a little bit upset at you all that maybe you hadn't prayed hard enough. I'm not proud of that thought, but that did go through my mind, which only shows even that much more the lesson that I really think I needed to take away from that. Because I don't know, if you're like me, you ask yourself, you ask God, why? Why now? Why here? Why me? Why, right? Little pity party on the side of the road. And I kind of knew, I mean, there's enough of Jesus going on in me. I kind of knew that there was going to be something that was going to come out of this, you know, maybe a sermon. And I realized in that moment, or a couple moments later, after I'd calmed down a little bit, that there was some reason for what was all going on there. And the reason was probably as much to show me my own self-centeredness as anything. Because after all, God had placed this, it was my fault, all right? I should have listened to my wife. Because my wife had said before we left, you know, those tires, we've had them for a while, the boat's been sitting on them on concrete for a long time. Rather than running the risk of a flat tire, what if we just go out and buy two new tires? Oh, yeah. And we did. We bought two new tires Monday morning after the tire blew. But God put us in a place. I was able to call my sister that morning. Where's a good place to get tires in Blair, which is very near us? We were on the side of a road, a wide apron approaching this off-ramp. Plenty of room to spare. Claire stays asleep during the whole thing. Jeanette's doing a marvelous job out there with a little emergency light fanning the semis over to the other lane. She's a trooper, man. She's right out there. And the law thought, the real serious thought of this whole thing is how self-centered we all are, right? As if this was all about me. Instead of the Lord saying, you know, David, you should have changed the tire when you had the chance. And instead, I made sure that you were in a relatively safe space. You got a good helpmate. Your granddaughter's sleeping. You're going to be near tires. You're going to be on the road again. You need to do what you're going to ask your people to do, what God tells us to do, and then you need to kill that old self. You need to daily die to that sinful self that is so self-centered, as if this is all about you, as if it's all about you when you find yourself in that kind of situation. And realize that in the midst of all this stuff that's going on around you, the semi is going by, the car is going by, nothing has changed. Your identity did not change because you blew a tire. My love for you did not change because you blew a tire. You are still, by the promise of water and the word, you are still my child. You got to be my child just as Collins did this morning by dying. How did you feel about being a co-conspirator in her death? Never thought about it that way before, did we? Yeah. But then having her raised to new life again, that she might be called child of God, brother, sister of ours, sister of ours, as her brothers and her sisters. That did not change. And my purpose didn't change. I'm still to be husband to Jeanette, grandfather to Claire, pastor to you. Performance-wise, well, Lord, help me kill it. Lord, help you kill it. When that self-centeredness raises its ugly head, as if somehow you can do something or you did something that was deserving of Christ Jesus. And remember your baptism. Remember this supper that you're about to take. Remember a death that was given for you and now given to you that you might have life in his name. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.